We're on the fourth step today. And at the point step, I heard a lot of cliches when I got in here, but I've been doing something at the beginning of these meetings for the last 3 weeks. I'm going to do it again this week. In the old days, in the very old days, Joe's here today. He'll remember that. They used to have beginners meetings. Real beginners meetings. Can't hear me. We used to have 4 1-hour classes before you were allowed to go to a meeting. Actually went 3 instead. They did it in Washington, they did it in New York, and they were called back to basics classes, they call them today. They are still used in certain areas. And the fourth step is made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And it's described in the big book on pages 63 to 71. And the directions, which there are directions for taking step 4, are on page 64, paragraph 1 and paragraph 2. And I'm going to read the 2 paragraphs. Therefore, we started upon a personal inventory. This was step 4. A business which takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. Taking commercial inventory is a fact-finding and fact-facing process. It is an effort to discover the truth about the stock in trade. One object is to disclose damaged or usable goods, to get rid of them promptly without regret. If the owner of the business is to be successful, he cannot fool himself about value. We did exactly the same thing with our lives. We took stock honestly. First, we searched out the flaws in our makeup, which caused our failure. Being convinced that self manifested in various ways was what had defeated us, we considered its common manifestation. Thank you. That's what they say. That's much as they say on step 4. Now, when I got to, you know, I was talking last week about my third step, and I said I had a wonderful event that happened on the 4th of July. My decision was not to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. It was to turn my will and my life over to the care of a sponsor to get me through the steps. It was that simple. When I finished my third step, I still did not have a God. I did meet with him outside of... it was the 4th of July. We watched the fireworks. Hi, Sally. We watched the fireworks.
Hi, Sally. Okay.
You're not late. We watched the fireworks at FAU, and after the fireworks, we went to lunch, and he asked me if I knew a place that was quiet and peaceful. I was living in a halfway house, and there's a church right around the corner, Joan of Arc, and I used to go into the chapel there because I was afraid to go to the temple across the street, because that was my child. So I used to go into the chapel there and speak to that God to speak to my God, because I was afraid to speak to my God. I still had the fear of God in me, and I really didn't have a full belief in that. The process that was going on for me was real simple. We actually got on our knees together out of respect to him, and I never prayed with anybody. And I grew up praying for a long time, and it was an enjoyable experience. And then he said immediately, "We're going to go to work on your 4th step." Being a typical alcoholic, I read what it said in the book. I didn't understand the column. So I went to every meeting and I raised my hand and said, "We're about to start on the 4th step. How do you do it?" Well, opinions run pretty deep in here. There's a couple of things that the book says. It says, this is an example of an inventory. It's not the only way to do one. I've heard people say they did their life story. I heard other people do various, and I've done all of these, so I could show them. These are not AA approved. I did both of one. This is the old 4-step from Hazleton. This is the new one. This is Joe and Charlie's old 4-step when there was only 3 columns. I have 4 columns. I have 5 columns. I have a list of words and definitions. I have checklists. I have gone and asked a million questions, but I still didn't pick up the pen. Very simple how the 4-step works. I was procrastinating. There was a reason I was procrastinating on my 4-step. It wasn't that I was procrastinating. I had a blockage. I like what Bob used to call what he had to do. I needed a spiritual enema. The way I was told. Because I was pretty much sick. And I would go to meetings and I'd hear people say, "Well, just write the columns." Then I hear people write across, write down. I heard a million different ways of doing this 4-step, but I was not going to do it. See, I had a secret. And as long as I kept that secret, I wasn't capable of doing it. And it was something that really bothered me. And my sponsor said to me, "How are you doing?" "Oh, I'm doing great, you know, doing wonderful." So we used to meet once a week, and Larry said to me, "I want you to bring your 4-step. We're going to go over it."
And I said, uh-oh, I'm caught. So I said, oh, I forgot it. And he says, you're not writing it, are you? I said, no. He said, well, I'll give you the next week. Come back the next week, and I didn't write it. And he said to me, is there something you want to tell me why you're not writing it? You made a decision to write, do your rest of the steps. Why aren't you doing it? Well, I have this thing that I don't want to tell anybody. I'm taking it to the grave with me. It was very personal. It was very humiliating. And it left a big scar. And I think we all have scars. And I wasn't willing to share it with anybody. I got to that point where when we got together the next week, he said, what you can do is you can write it down. I don't have to see it. And you can burn it. That way nobody will know. And then you can get on and do what I have to do. And he just said, make a list, a grudge list. Make a resentment list. I got back to him the next week and I still hadn't done it. He said, well, here's your choices. Either you tell me what's going on, you write down what's going on, or you get a new sponsor. Very simple. I said, I had to think about it. I wasn't ready to tell him. Still holding back. I sat down and I told him this blockage that I had. And it's amazing how God works. His birthday was the same birthday as my father's. And we're still friends. I still speak Larry's out in Arizona. And we kept communication. He got me through all 12 steps. Amazing as that is. I told him the story. And he turned around and said, oh, that happened to you too. And the way he said, oh, that happened to you too, that was not somebody just being nice to me. Somebody who went through it. And I knew it. That's the first time I felt that as a part of this program. Or that somebody understood what was really going on inside. So we shared it. And I went home and I was asked to make a resentment list. And that's all I did. I made a grudge list. And I wrote down that grudge list. And we went over it. And then he told me to do something else. So I did my four step a little different. Still raising my hand at every meeting asking how to do War and Peace. I wanted to get it right. First I didn't want to do it. Now I got to get it perfect. You know, nobody in the between. Not to the best of my ability. I had to go beyond. So I go to different meetings and I heard about the seven deadly sins that they talk about in the 12 and 12. Well, I didn't have that in my inventory. So I started making what I call an immoral inventory. My first inventory was 28 pages of immoral behavior. And there was nothing positive about it. But I lived 33 years of immoral behavior. So it was moral for where I was at. Along my journeys, and I've taken a few in the four steps, there's a couple of things that pop out at me. There's two things in the big book, before I go into that part of it. In the big book, there's a couple of things. One of the things that's in the big book is Bill. See, my sponsor didn't let me take my inventory myself. He helped me with it. He knew what was going on. He saw some of the things that I couldn't. And it says, my schoolmate visited me, fully acquainted with my problem of deficiency. We made a list. Not I made a list. We made a list. Of people we hurt, toward whom I felt resentment, I expressed my entire willingness to approach these individuals, which is the 8th step, the 9th step, and the 4th step all in one. Bill did that when he told in Bill's story. In the book, the big book, in one of the stories, and it says, I'm going to read it, it's on page 292 in case people read the stories. It says, the day before I was due back to Chicago, a Wednesday, and Dr. Bob's afternoon off, he had me down to the office. We spent 3 or 4 hours formally going through the six-step program as it was at the time. The six steps were complete deflation, dependence and guidance from a higher power, moral inventory, confession, restitution, continue to work with other alcoholics. Dr. Bob led me through all of these steps. At the moral inventory, he brought up some of my bad personality traits or character defects such as selfishness, conceit, jealousy, intolerance, ill temper, scarism, and resentment. We went over these at great length, and then he finally asked me if I wanted these defects or character removed. When I said yes, we both knelt down and said a prayer. That's right out of the big book. It took me 2.5 months of procrastination, and it took me about 3.5 hours of vigilant writing to put down all my junk. I did a resentment list. We took the seven deadly sins out of the 12 and 12, and I made a checklist. I read each of my resentments, and I have my first one here. Not ashamed of it today. was for a very long time. My first inventory. We made a checklist, and on my resentment list I had my father and all the things I resented about him way back at the beginning, and I just checked off what it affected out of those seven deadly sins that they call pride, greed, lust, anger, envy, laziness, or gluttony, sloth and gluttony. And then everybody I listed, including God, my mother, myself, my ex-wife, my children, anything and everybody that I had any kind of negative feeling about, which was probably the whole world at that time, at least my whole world, because they weren't doing it my way. It says a little later on in the fourth step, if you read the big book, that we put aside the wrongs others had done to me. And that was real important to me, because that was my first part of the fourth step. My fourth step was all about the wrongs you guys did to me. Everybody did to me. And I had to look at my side of it. We went and we did the same thing. We took those same seven deadly sins, and where was I lazy? And then I did exactly the way the big book has it. I made the list down the list, and then step four, the seven deadly sins. And I made a list of work, where I was lazy, change, relations, learning, health, looking at myself, my children, my bills. And I found out that money comes up on many of these lists. I had a lot of financial insecurity when I got here. And then what I did is I took what I wrote, those lists, and I broke them down to the three columns that they talk about in the big book. I wrote down work, what it affected, and what was the result of that. And then I went to that fourth column, and was it fear-based, was it security, or was it social? So I had to look at those things. There's something that I read this morning before it's coming over here, which is amazing. The three dimensions of life, my sponsor used to call it, Bob called that my second sponsor. And in the three dimensions of life, it talks about the physical, the emotional or mental, and the spiritual world. And then they talk about that in the big book as well. 64, if I remember correctly. Yes. Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it stems all forms of spiritual disease. Have we not been only mentally and physically ill? We have been spiritually sick. And this was that spiritual enema we were talking about. Getting it on paper was the first act of that. And it was a tough act for me. And it was a very emotional act for me. And it hurt a lot, because it was the first real look I had at myself. The defects were glaring. Some of them were pretty hard chunks to swallow. I had to stop blaming my ex-wife for the way I treated my children and my marriage. I had to face my family for not being around for many years. There's a lot of things that came out of it that I didn't like. But the truth is, like I told my sponsor, I was going to do whatever it took somewhere in there, I was asked that, to stay sober. And I didn't see how this was going to help me. I just didn't see how an inventory was going to help me, except, you know, I didn't believe in confession. It was not part of my upbringing. Not what I believe. But in the three or four pages, in how it works, when they talk about the fourth step, because it says we immediately launched out on a course of vigorous action, which is inventory taking after that third step. And I was kind of a month or two behind, so I wasn't so immediate, but it was immediate enough for me. And it was what it took to get me there. There's only one wrong inventory, the one you don't write. That's the only way to take an inventory wrongly, I was told. As long as you put it down and you express the idea from your heart, and it's the best of your ability, if you don't get it right the first time, you can do it again. I'm off the hook. If I miss something, I can go back and write another inventory. I've done an inventory a year minimal. A regular four step, you want to call it a 10-step later on, you want to call it a mini four step. I don't care what you call it, I took an inventory. I don't get hung up on whether it's the four step I'm doing or the 10-step. Because the 10-step says, continue to take personal inventory. And when we're wrong, promptly admit it. Well, if my first one, I was not wrong, everybody else was. And I was definitely willing to admit it to them that they were wrong. There's a lot of change that had to take place between that point and when I got to the 10-step. And when I step on somebody's toes, says, I made a mistake. I'm wrong. I'm not sorry anymore. Because whenever I say I'm sorry, my sponsor used to poke me, Larry, and then Bob, say, you sure are sorry. Can't you say you're wrong? So I had to learn to say I was wrong, and I had to learn to say please and thank you. Then came the other part of the inventory that we don't talk about, the positive side. See, and I got here, I had no positive assets. And none that I could see anyway. I mean, I thought I was a good guy. And it talks about that, so we thought. I was judging me by my intentions, the world was judging me by my actions. And my actions stunk. My intentions were wonderful. I was a good father, I paid a lot of money to my ex-wife, so my children were taken care of. I did that because I had to, not because I really wanted to. And we had a very bitter separation. And part of the deal was that we had to stay in a 50-mile area. She moved 51 miles. I made her come all the way back. That's the kind of battle we had again. I don't laugh at it today because it's sad. Sad how we behave towards each other. We were not adults in it. I paid a lot of consequences because of that behavior. I laugh at it. Other things today, I don't laugh at the fact when I was 6 months sober, I walked out and was served with papers to give up my children legally. And that was a battle, and I had to do an inventory on that. And the truth of the matter is, my children had to be given up. The best thing I can do for where I was at, I don't regret it today. I wish they would come into my life, but I was told that's none of my business. That's God's business today. And I get to practice being the father I wasn't in these rooms with children when they come in. I get to do things that I can't do with my own. But I wasn't a good custodian. That was a hard thing to wake up to. So God took away what I wasn't good at. Gave me other things to be good at, though. But I needed to look at it, and I needed to put it on paper, and I needed to do that as fast as possible. I've done inventories about my anger issues at work. I've done inventories on my children. I've done annual inventories, and I continue to do inventories. I believe inventory taking, and it says it somewhere in the big book, that the hours or minutes that we squander won't be missed. I look forward at the end of the day to know that what I've done through this day. Have I helped another person? Have I been the best George I can be today? Most of the times I fall short. My own expectations on me are tough. And this is the one part that I like, because everybody says, don't be so hard on yourself. If you read the fourth step, it says, we're considerate of others and hard on ourselves. So I use that as an excuse to beat myself up for a while. My sponsor said, stop it. Be good to yourself. Hard on yourself is to do the work. If you want what we have, you do what we did. Last night I gave somebody a statement, because I believe in the books a lot. I got it through the books. I shared that Larry, when he was with me, he sponsored a lot of people. He had 16 years when I met him, for the second time, or 6 years when I met him, 8 years when I met him. He had a total of 16 years in and out of the program, and he was sponsoring people, but he never got anybody through it. So he figured he'd try a different method. He said he'd try it through the literature. And that was a wonderful journey for me. One of the things that Bob Wells, who no longer with us, used to say, we read the book for the information. We do what's in the book for the transformation. And the fourth step is where you start transforming. If you don't put the pencil to paper, it tells you three times, you're probably going to go out and drink. Or you're not going to have a very happy sobriety. The choice is yours. You can stay miserable and sick, or you can get well. That's your process. That's what I was told when I got in here. I can stay sick as long as I want, or I can get well as quick as I want. It's my process, not anybody else's. I didn't like the process. I fought it, I argued with it, but I continued to do it. The fourth step for me, I call it, my sponsors, I call it the pen light step. If you don't pick up the pen, you'll never see the light. It's really that simple when I get to that fourth step. If you're not going to write it, you're going to sit there and talk about it, you're going to sit there and sit on it, all you're going to do is manifest in your brain more disease. It's got to come out. And and I don't care who hit it, but it's got to come out on paper. I tried, the thing is, can I do it in a tape recorder? Can I type it? I've used every excuse not to do it the way I was told to do it. I was still balking along the way. Eventually, I stopped fighting. And you know what? When I stopped fighting and I surrendered to that fourth step, like I surrendered to every other step, it got real easy. So anybody on a fourth step or going want to do another one, just don't fight it, just do it. There's only one wrong way of doing it, by not doing it. Enough out of me on the fourth step.